folks, let's go ahead and get started. I hope you'll bear with me. I'm a rookie, and I'll try to do my best to keep this thing on track. I appreciate everybody spending time with the board. Definitely appreciate your work with CBTD, and we'll go ahead and get started with acceptance of minutes and approval of agenda. Everyone's had a chance to review those items. Can I get a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I would move approval of all those things.
We have a motion to approve. Can I get a second, please?
I will second that.
Second. Any questions, concerns, comments? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you very much. We'll move forward. Next meeting is April 24th, right here. Same bat time, same bat channel. Does anyone have questions or comments for the board or management? Seeing none, we'll move on. I'm delighted to see a return member. Folks that have been on the board for a while will remember Joy Reyes, longtime board member of CBTV. She's come back to visit with us for a little bit. Joy, would you mind chatting with us for a few minutes? Thanks. Please, if you wouldn't mind coming up to the microphone. Thank you.
And you can pull the mic out if that's easier, or you can leave it there, whatever works.
Or you can pull the mic out and sit down there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Whatever works.
Just pull it if you want to pull it out.
You can just pull it out.
Just pull hard.
There you go.
Then you can sit down if you want. Or you can stand up.
Joy!
For the holidays. Yeah.
I was sitting on the corner.
On the count of three, we'll all join in.
We'll all singing Joy to the World. I get that all the time, and people say, you must get so tired of that. And I say, no, actually, I kind of like it. I like it when people break into song when they see me. How bad can that be? So Todd has asked me to come tonight to see if I would mind sharing with you some information about Cache Valley Transit District and some of the benefits of the Cache Valley Transit District and some of the maybe cons there are, if there are any. As Craig mentioned, I've been a board member for a long time. I started when it was the Logan Transit District and the Cache Valley Transit District. And then when they merged the two together, because I had been on the board for a long time, they asked me if I would mind staying on, and I was more than happy to. Someone said, how long have you been riding the bus? I said, I don't remember not riding the bus, ever. I became a rider by necessity. We had an old beat-up Honda, and it got to the point where the framework of it had rusted out enough that no one would touch it and put it back on the street in good conscience. So while we were waiting for a decision to purchase a new vehicle, because my husband was working in Salt Lake at the time, I started riding the bus. And I know it was before 1993, which is 26 years ago, because I just had a security question that says, where were you when 9/11 happened? And I thought, well, I know exactly where I was. I was on Route 8, headed inbound to catch the 7:30 outbound, and I would have been right there on D Avenue coming up to the stop. And that was in 1993. How did that happen so long ago? So I have been a long-time rider. I am now a rider by choice. I think my husband would tell you that it's best I not drive, that I'm better as a rider than a driver. I would tell you I'm overly cautious, but he's the worst driver on the street, and it would be better if we could get him on the bus, but I haven't been able to do that yet. One of the first things, besides the necessity to ride it, was I thought about all the vehicles, and you have to remember this was decades ago when I started riding the bus. And even then, we dealt with clean air, or the lack of clean air, especially in the winter with inversion days. And I thought, anything that I can do personally to assist in taking out whatever it is that's in the air, I'm going to do. And that was one of the other reasons I, after we had a vehicle available, I kept riding the bus. What's today? I think it was just Monday. I had my mother and my father in town for doctor appointments. And that's the other thing. The buses aren't out in Benson where my folks are unless they're out there on the Benson Road running maintenance checks out there. And I think, why don't you just stop and pick up my mom and dad and bring them in with you? But they live in one of those small communities where the buses don't go yet. And I hope they live long enough to see the day when they can catch the bus and come in. It would be great if they could do that. Traffic congestion when I was when we were on Main Street, which I never should have done, traveling northbound, and it would have been about maybe 5:15 at night. I'm usually on the bus at 5:30 going east and west, not north and south, and I thought, people drive in this? People park in this because they weren't moving. And I thought traffic congestion could be maybe not eliminated, but if more people were riding the bus, traffic congestion would not have to be as bad as it is. But we've been raised with our own vehicles, our own time, our own whatever, and I don't know that we'll ever change that because we all like to have our own stuff at our own disposal. Carpools. We could even eliminate carpools if people would ride the bus. I look at traffic and pool and I haven't seen it over at Ellis for a while, but there and the high school, anywhere that you've got drop off and pick up for children at school, even along Adams Park, which is right here on the bus route, you'll see cars backed up and waiting and parking. And I now work in a building that's across the street from the Edith Bowen School. And you look out there at class time, and my goodness, the cars out there, and they don't turn their cars off, so they're generating all the pollution. And I'm thinking, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I know that Utah State is making an effort to be idle free, but it's hard to get us to change. It's been estimated that a family could save up to $9,000 a year if they did not have a car, with insurance and fuel and maintenance, which would include tires and oil changes and whatever. The estimate is the average family could save $9,000 a year. And I thought, what family couldn't use $9,000 a year? I realized that cars are a necessity at some point in time, but if the times when it wasn't an actual necessity, people would revert to using the bus, that could help them. I think about the people that I see back on the route when I was coming out today. A special needs person was on the bus and carried on a great little conversation with the bus driver, which I see happen frequently when I'm on the bus. The bus drivers are very courteous. They're very cautious about being safe. But they just take them in with open arms and are really good to them. So if we had a clientele of those who are special needs who can travel by themselves and or with others, the bus offers them an opportunity to be very independent. They can either ride around on the bus during the day. They can take them to their transportation, by way of transportation to their employment. So then you've got the people who are adding to the economy because they now have a check and they can go out and buy whatever they need rather than being dependent on somebody else for everything. That was another thing that I thought about. On snow days, you don't have to go out and find your car and unbury it. You just step out to the curb and there's the bus. Because you know when the bus is coming. If you've got the app on your phone, you can monitor that and know when it's coming. On hot days in the summer, when you go out and your car's 185 degrees inside and you turn on the AC and wait for 5 minutes before you dare get in because it's so hot. You don't do that on the bus. The bus comes by, you step in, it's all AC, takes you to your house and drops you off. It's great. Another thing was with low-income families who maybe don't have the additional transportation at their home, have chosen either not to have or have chosen to put their money somewhere else, those families can put their children on a bus on the Cache Valley Transit if they don't have regular bus service where they live, and those children can ride on the bus. Generally, from what my observation is, at the beginning of the school year, we see the kids going to Hillcrest and Adams Park as I ride the bus up to campus and routes one and four, sometimes 15 if it's the right time of day. But those children get on the bus with their parents, and you'll see them for a number of weeks, and then pretty soon the parent is no longer there because those children have been supervised and trained and now are comfortable and feel safe being on the bus. And because the bus has surveillance cameras, then the parents feel a lot more secure about putting their children on a bus and say, okay, hope you make it, you know. And the bus ride drivers watch for those children. They're used to seeing them every day on the bus the same time. And so they kind of keep an eye out, make sure they get off, and get off at the right place. So that's another one of the advantages of having a bus service. One of the things that I noticed in the transit center or the hub or the intermodal hub, I don't know what you'd call it.
Whatever you want to call it, fine.
For a long time there were no vending machines, and then there were vending machines and there was no recycle bin. And I just irritated me. Yeah. And I walked through one day and I thought, oh look, they have the plastic, they have the plastic, they have the aluminum, and they have the garbage. I was so excited to see that in order to accommodate people who come, and depending on what bus you're on, you could be waiting anywhere from 3 minutes to 33 minutes to catch the next ride, assuming that you don't miss your first one. So I was excited to see that. Bus service is close to shopping areas. The proximity is such. Even though they've taken the bus stop out on Main Street for Walmart, you just ride it around, get off in the back. You don't have to deal with the traffic. It's still a half-hour stop when the next one comes around. So people who say, well, I have to wait so long. Well, you don't have to wait any longer than. The only disadvantage might be if you were really quick. You could have gotten off on the front on Main Street, gone in and picked up your Walmart stuff and caught it on the back side, but that's the only disadvantage I can see. But most of the shopping areas, even those along Main Street, you can take Route 7, and it goes down First West along the back side of a lot of the businesses and get off and then walk rather than having to get off on the other side of the street. And I think it was Mark Lunt who said, crossing Main Street is like the gauntlet. He said, you don't want to do that. So that enables shoppers who are going downtown in close proximity to establishments without having to cross Main Street. The L gives them grapes, gives them great independence. I remember just Lulu Anderson. They did. The Herald Journal did an article on her. She had her 100th birthday right before she passed away. And she would catch the bus, and I would see her every morning at 7:30 getting on the bus that went out to Sports Academy. And she would go out there and do water aerobics, the senior water aerobics. And I thought, for seniors who do not have the challenge of driving through town, and still want to be independent and be able to get around, bus service is a great opportunity for them as well to be able to go where they need to and want to go. And that was just one of the places that I thought about. new friends. You see the high school kids and the middle school kids get on the bus, and sometimes they're just out for a ride. You know, they don't really have a destination in mind, and they're just trying to kill time, I guess, with their friends. But you see them on the bus, in the back, generally, and they will be engaged in conversation, which is unusual anymore because they're usually hooked in, plugged into their phones and their iPods and whatever. But you'll see them on the bus and carry on conversations. And that's a great way for them once they get started, so that when they get to be 18 or 16, I guess it is, they don't think they have to have a vehicle because they've been riding the bus. They know it's convenient. They know they can get where they need to be. They know they can hang with their friends. So that was another great advantage of having the transit system. Employment opportunities. I understand there's about 110 employees within the transit district. Mm-hmm. So the transit district hires about 110 employees throughout the valley. And apparently then you guys must be great employers, because I see drivers who disappear for 2 or 3 years and then they come back and they're back. They go off somewhere and get a different degree and come back and work, or they step out of the employment field and then decide they don't want to be retired forever and come back. So they must really be a great employer because you see them returning. And it's nice to have that many people being employed by an agency in town. It also gives an opportunity for education for others who are searching for jobs. The bus I ride early in the morning looks like, must have a pickup close to the jail for work release. And having had too close of experience with that opportunity, I think it's great because most of them, most of those who are incarcerated with work release are not able to have transportation. And it's kind of like crossing the gauntlet out there on 10th West, but early in the morning it's not quite as bad. And I think if the transit district was not available, if the public transportation was not available, a good number of these, I don't know what percentage, but a good number of those who are incarcerated for whatever reason and want to maintain their job in order to, the judge wants them to have some semblance of responsibility and accountability and the ability to pay whatever fines they may have had. For them to be able to find a way to still get to their employment, I think it's important. The drivers. The drivers have been trained really well, I think. Not only are they good drivers, they're good defensive drivers. I've watched a few really close calls with people who try to take on a bus, and I think, really? You really want to do that? Pull in front of the bus when it's coming down the street. And I've been on the ride a couple of times when someone will run a stop sign, and the bus is there at a four-way stop, and because they've been trained to be defensive drivers, they've been able to avoid those kind of accidents. I'm aware that there are drivers who have been out in the community, and there have been accidents. There was one time when there was a fire at someone's house, and a bus driver saw it early in the morning when he was driving, and as soon as he could get to a place where he could pull over safely, and he called dispatch, and they were able to get the fire department there. So I know not only are they trained to do their job, they're also trained to be very customer service oriented. And my experience over the years has been that they are very customer service oriented, and they're watching out for those who are on the ride. The bus is an excellent timer. When I'm out working in the yard, I don't have to carry a watch or a phone. You know, oh, there goes the bus. It must be half an hour later. Or on my street, unfortunately, on Saturdays there is no bus, and I miss that because I used to be able to time how long I've been out. Oh, it's time to change the water, or But I liked that, and I'm assuming that if you live somewhere else in town and the bus comes by, you know what time it is by the bus. It's coming by. It's either inbound or outbound. So that was a good thing. If you know the bus routes and you miss one of your bus, the ride, because you weren't out on the street, if you know the bus routes, because they come approximately every 2 blocks through town, most areas they're within 2 blocks of each other. I'm not a very patient waiter, and I've found that I can leave the area where I'm in, where I was going to catch a bus, and walk 2 blocks that way and catch another bus that will take me to my next route instead of waiting half an hour, catch the next one, then catch the transfer. So instead of waiting 45 minutes, I'm looking at 15 minutes instead. And so if you're a rider who is familiar with the route, and even if you aren't, you could probably go on your phone and look it up and find out when the next one is coming by. So that's another benefit, I think, of the transit district, is it provides a number of opportunities for people to be able to get transportation throughout the valley. There are a few things that I would like to see changed. One of the challenges is because of the restriction of funds available, the bus has, I think the last ride out of town is at 8:30, leaves the transit center at 8:30. And I know from experience on the board that there's not a lot of traffic on the last ride out of town. And I've decided it's because if you miss that one, you're stranded for the rest of the night. You end up calling somebody to come and get you, which kind of defeats the purpose of riding the bus. So I don't know if there was a way to extend that service and have the last pickup at 9 o'clock. I don't know. I know that that's a monetary issue is what drives that. But if there was some way that could be done, I would like to see that happen. There's no Saturday service on some of the routes. And they start 10:30. Well, I don't want to be through with my shopping by 10:30. I don't want to be out. And so that's problematic. I still haven't figured out how to do case lot sales on the bus. I can carry 2 gallons of milk in my backpack and cart. I try to make sure that I'm evenly balanced. I've learned that if you plan well, you might have to stop more than one night at the grocery store, but you can still stop at the grocery store and catch your next ride and be home and not have to drive. I'm fortunate enough that I live in an area where I can walk to the store, and even if I miss my ride on my regular route, I might have to walk another block and a half further, but there are 3 other options that I have to get home. And I understand why the route ends early. It's because it's out in the industrial area out on 10th West, and there's not a lot of, after 6 o'clock, there's not a lot of traffic out that way, and so it's probably wise to not have a bus go out there with nobody on it. I've heard people complain about no Sunday service, but I'm not sure that there would be enough ridership on Sunday to warrant having buses run through the valley. I don't know. If it were possible, I'd like to see some kind of storage bins, well, storage lockers at the transit center that people who do multiple stops at shopping, you could shop here, bring it back, lock it up, go to your next place instead of carrying your bags everywhere you go. If you're doing 3 or 4 different places, what do I do with all my stuff? I walk in to the store with 4 bags and walk out. And they kind of look at you like, do you have receipts for these? Have you paid for these? Are these new? How did you get them in? How are you getting them out? I don't know if that could be done. I don't know if people would use them, but that was a thought. feel bad for the communities who are waiting for service to come. Communities who are waiting for service to come obviously have either talked to or been somewhere else where they've seen what the service can provide for them, and they're excited about it. I know that people complain who ride the bus about snow days and where the buses get slowed down, but I also know that on snow days, if you're driving your own vehicle, traffic does not move the same. It's usually slower, and it may take longer to get where you need to be. So snow day is a snow day, whether you're on the bus or in your personal car. And one last challenge that I think you have is that our society is geared for on the hour and on the half hour appointments. And when the buses leave the terminal at on the hour and the half hour, then you end up with people either 10 minutes late for an appointment or 20 minutes early. And until we can, and I don't know that we can ever change how society schedules appointments on the quarter after so that people can ride. I think most people who rely on the bus service know that that's what the case is going to be, and they come prepared. You'll see a lot of people on the bus with a laptop. You'll see them on the bus with their electronic devices or a book to read when they travel. I think your regular riders have found that because they like the public transportation, they find other ways to engage themselves when they're waiting, if that's the right word to use. So unless you have questions for me, I've taken up way too much of your time. That's what I wanted to share with you. And that's what I wanted to share with you today.
I think you better hire her. She knows more about the system than any of us.
She does.
Very good practical.
She knows more than that.
Pat, but she can tell you, I just walked 2 blocks and I get this route, and this route's going here. I'm not sure I know the different, you know, I don't know inbound and outbound from the transit center. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
or any other place as a bus goes by. Outbound is after you leave the transit center, halfway through the route, and then you're inbound from the route.
Okay. So you can be both outbound and inbound on the same bus, right?
We need to get you on the bus.
To our financial update from Glenn. Okay, hopefully you've each been able to look at your packet and see the financial update there. That's for the final quarter, so that's for the year of 2018. And I won't go into much detail here, but overall you can see that we were under budget on all of our expenses for various reasons. Some of them we budgeted for things that we didn't spend yet, and I'm sure that some of those will be spent. Others we just, for instance, gasoline, we budgeted a certain amount and received favorable results on that, on the prices, and so we were in good shape. Notice that sales taxes came in higher than anticipated. So overall, we're in very good shape. And you can see some of the footnotes on the next page that explain some of those items. I'd like to point out, let's see, it's on what's numbered as your page 9. The reason the numbers don't match here, I think these are just copies from our report that Curtis is preparing, our financial report that Curtis is preparing. Down here in the fund balance net position section, you notice that the assigned, we've discussed this in prior years, recommending that we assign $5.6 million of the fund balance there. Basically, we're assigning that for what we anticipate for capital projects in the future. It's good to have a balance there that we can use for future grants that will come in. We can show the feds that we've got the money there and we're asking for funds and we can match, and we can actually show them that we've actually got the funds available to match when we have major projects, you know, in the future when we're hoping to build the new transit facility in, is it North Logan where we are? Yeah, North Logan. That, you know, that's going to be a major thing that in the future. And so we're recommending this. Now, being assigned doesn't mean it has to stay there forever. If in the future things change, we have the ability to assign it to something else. That's our assignment. That's not something that's in stone that we have to keep there. So it's, you know, I know some, we've had concerns in the past about that, you know, why are we assigning this? Then we can't do anything with it. Well, it's our assignment, and we can reassign it if we need to, but we think it's prudent to put it here and to show that on the books so that in the future we'll have it there. And thus far, we've been able to build that up every year. We haven't had to reassign it, and so it's been a good thing to have there, and we would like to continue to do that and would recommend that we do that. The unassigned portion there is for coverage for payables and various things that happen after year end, and so that's why that's there. So that's basically what I have. I don't know if you have any questions that you'd like to review.
On 10, Cecilia, where it says due from other governments, $1,020, on the second line down, I mean $1,200,740. What is that? Is that from the anticipated, our share that has been decreased but is still coming from that, from the tax that the legislature's been?
Would that be the grants, Curtis, that we're expecting the money from?
Yeah.
Or
that's a great question. We do this presentation to match what's required for accounting standards. So the vast majority of that is actually sales tax. So it's always 2 months behind. So what comes in January and February is actually for November and December. So the vast majority of that relates to those collections because those are two of our highest months. And then the remainder is some federal grants that we bill it usually in January and use it collected either in January or February. It has nothing to do with any of the sales tax that the county did. The county still receiving 100%. It's a great question, though. The county's still receiving 100% of that. We're due to start receiving that in, I think it's August.
Good. So this is real money, not hope for.
That's
just due.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Awesome.
And like Glenn said,
you may have already received it by now.
Oh, yeah,
right?
We have.
Yeah. So
good.
All of it's collected in the end. So,
great.
Yeah, it's fully collected. And that's part of the reason why we keep that $1 million of unassigned is we have such high receivables. If we, that basically keeps our cash position solid. Receivables of inventory.
Good.
And receivables of inventory.
Good. Thank you.
Yes.
128,000 interest, investment earnings.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good, so I was wondering if I could loan you a little money.
Yeah. can we invest in this?
That's a really good point, because in the past we were earning somewhere in the neighborhood of about 0.5%, 0.75%.
Yeah.
We use the Public Treasurer's Investment Fund.
Is that pretty much on all the fund balance?
All the cash position. And so it's pretty close, and you know, we're
close to 2% then, really.
It's really
closer to 3 almost.
Is it really?
About 2.6, 2.7.
It's been going up the last couple of years, I think.
Yeah,
hasn't it?
Really,
it's been inching up a little bit.
This last year was really good. The Fed raised the interest rate, so we were a real benefactor of that. In the last year, our interest rate went up well over 1%.
Okay,
good.
Thank you.
Yeah, good job. It's solid. It's liquid. There's no risk in where that money's held.
Great.
And our investment balance has been going up as well, right?
It has.
Yeah. So that increases that.
It does. It's going to take a hit here in the next little while because we got four major bucks. May. So four buses, so we'll go through about $2 million, and we'll get most of that back, 80% back. But and then we just finished the completion of four smaller buses. That's only about $300,000. So, yeah, we can go through money fairly fast on some of those days. And that's why it's important to have that money assigned to the capital, so that we've got plenty of money there for when those times come.
Any other questions? So if something comes up, I know that Curtis and Todd are there to help with any questions, but the report looks really good, and as far as I know, the audit's going very well, and so should be able to report on that soon as well.
Got the auditors out. The initial indication is there's no findings or no issues that they have, so we should be accepting them to report in May.
Great.
Thanks, Curtis.
Do we need to approve those?
We'll do that with the audit. So not tonight. Yeah,
this is just a report.
Okay. So up next is Ron. Give us a rundown on a recent Mayor's Association meeting.
About, I think it was the first part of February, last part of January, our mayor in Richmond, Jeff Young, is the president of the Mayor Association. And as well, they get together, I think, monthly and or quarterly, one of the two. And he came to me and said, hey, we'd like CBTD to come and give us a presentation. I said, to the mayors? And he goes, yeah. And I said, okay. I let Holly and Todd know. And so we waited. And then I said, okay, why don't you guys send out an email to all the mayors and see if they have any questions? Of course, they didn't. So we decided to approach it head on. We covered three topics. We covered the raise for the CEO, CEO compensation. We discussed ridership, and we discussed the infamous fund balance. Craig Butters was there. Mayor Daines was there. Mayor Drew was there, and a whole bunch of other mayors from other communities, of course. So Holly got up and introduced Todd and I. I discussed how the policy. I discussed how the policy was developed and who actually establishes that, or who determines the raise that is presented before the board, and that we approved it. And then Todd talked about ridership and why it was up and down and where it was at. And then I ended the conversation with the fund balance, why we have it, what we're using it for. We took, about 20 minutes all total? And we did have a few questions afterwards. And then later that evening, I got a text message from Jeff Young, our mayor from Richmond, and said that he was extremely pleased, and the feedback that he had received from the mayors that were there was very positive. So it went off very well.
Super.
And we got one request for a presentation. Right, Jeff? You're doing the presentation in Providence in April?
April 23rd.
Okay. So,
you did a computerized presentation?
No, we did not, what you see in front of you, the presentation wasn't quite ready yet. So we just got up and I had documents in front of me, and I basically had an outline of how I approached each topic, and Todd did the same. But what you have in front of you, this leads into this one. This is the presentation that Rumor has put together for us as board members to present to our city councils.
It's a little small for handout. It's a great presentation. I love it. But some of those are awfully small.
Roger, Didn't I got this, the full presentation, delivered in my email on Friday.
I did too.
Everyone should have gotten this. So you probably have it in your email. So this is the full presentation, so you could read the fine print.
This is just to keep safe paper on this.
Do you want to bring it up at all?
Do you want to quickly go through this? I didn't.
I think we're okay.
Talk
about the pamphlet that will also be able to be a more abbreviated handout.
See, what we're working on is the presentation, what you have, it can be modified. There are slides that can be deleted from the presentation, so you can actually streamline it to what you want to give at your city council. Okay, and then there will be a handout that we will develop, or that will be developed, that can also be tailored to your community or to your city council. So what the goal is to have each of us, if you choose, and if you don't choose, we will help you. What we're trying to do is get three or four people that know how to get up and give the presentation. And so, like, for example, if there's somebody that is uncomfortable getting up in front of someone, like me, I'm very uncomfortable getting up in front of a large group, so I would have Cecilia do it for me.
Sure.
But, you know, so that we could, you could introduce someone from the PEP committee that could give the presentation, and the two of you can work together to answer questions. But what we want to do is we want to capitalize on the momentum that we've got from the Mayor's Association meeting. So please review this. If you've got any questions, please fire me an email. Send it back to me if you've got, I don't understand this. Where did this come from? There's still some quotes missing, right?
I think we got most of them resolved, actually.
Okay. Did we get the correct spelling for that individual?
We've been through and addressed all the things that the PEP committee.
Okay. So if you have any questions or want to see something different, please send me an email. Tell me what you think, because we'd like to get this. The first time it's going to go out and be worked on is when Jeff gives his presentation in April to the Providence City Council. And I would like to recommend and suggest that if any of you are free that evening, to go and watch it. Jeff gave a presentation about 6 months ago. Yeah, he did a great job, and a number of us attended, and we're there for moral support. And Mayor Drew opened it up and was even asking us questions that were there visiting. So it became a very good discussion and a very positive experience for the city council.
There's one question I had. What is the underage rider program?
Happy to address that, yeah.
So we have an age of 10 years of age or older that can ride the bus individually. So if you think about that, that's pretty hard for our drivers to really know if someone 10 or not. And so what we do is that's the program, but really it comes down to if someone's being disruptive or not. As long as they're not being disruptive, it looks like they know where they're going. Kind of like Joy said, their parents have trained them. We're probably not going to push that too much. But if someone starts to become disruptive, then we might address that. Or if we have parents, and this is really kind of the way the program was developed, if we have parents that are concerned, they want their kids to use the bus, but their kids are under the age of 10, they can come in and meet with us. And so what we do is we go through basically conduct policy. And we train the parent and the child. This is what's acceptable. This is not what's acceptable on the bus. And also at that point, then we find out from the parent, where is this child going to be riding the bus? And so we can list that down. We list down the contact information of the parent or guardian so that we can get in contact with them. And then we also give the child a card that has that parent or guardian's contact information on it, their name. And then we train the child. If you're ever lost, just go to the bus driver, give them the card, and the bus driver knows what to do. And so the bus driver then can contact our office, and they can get in touch with the parent or guardian. The driver's trained and the child's trained that the bus is a safe place. The transit center is a safe place. So we make sure that they get to safety. until their parent or guardian can be contacted, and then we can find out what their parent or guardian wants us to do to help that child. So it's really an education process. I'll be honest with you, we don't have a ton of people that take advantage of that, but we do have people from time to time. Most people do what Joy says. They just go out and they ride around with their kid, you know, a few times, see that their kid's okay, and then they just let their kid ride. And again, as long as we don't see a disruption or a child lost, we'll let that happen. But if we do see, and as Joy said, the drivers are very concerned and aware, if they see someone that's struggling, then we say, hey, let's fill out an incident report. We might get that person into the underage rider program. So it's worked very well. But yeah.
So if you have a disruptive child that's lost, is that a double negative?
And that's positive, right? That's right.
I have to tell you from my job, the dispatch has been awesome to work with us because we have had kids that get on the bus from school and they don't go home. And so we can easily call, and dispatch is always great. We can tell them what they're wearing and we'll be like, okay, they're on this bus. We'll go get them. I've gone to the transit center and picked them up before. We had two that decided they wanted to go to the library one day from Ellis, second graders, and some loop somewhere, but we got them back home. But so they're great. Dispatch is great with those young kids.
So can I ask a question to PEP committee then? So what's the, as we present this to our city council, what's our reason for presenting this? Like what?
Why? What's the reason for doing these presentations?
It's an informative, it's to let everybody know what we're doing, what's going on.
Okay, just the kind of the annual update that we are
trying
to do.
Yeah, it's an information only. It helps them see what we're doing. One of the things that I need to go back is that we started off with an outline, mm-hmm. and I want to compare the outline now with the final version just to make sure that we're in sync with what we said we were going to do. Because we wanted to make sure that everything went smoothly, and we're trying to keep the public aware, the elected officials aware. We want to engage them with us and let them know that at the end of the day, they've got, like when we finished with the Mayor's Association, there were three contact numbers, Holly, myself, and Todd. You know, they listed Holly as the chair, me as the PEP committee chair, and of course, Todd's the general manager. And then at the end, you know, when you present your, here's the flyer that goes with the presentation, you're on there, the chair's on there, and the GM's on there, so that they know that they've got someone they can talk to and ask any questions or whatever. Okay. But the idea is to start engaging our elected officials and keep them informed as to what's going on so that we don't have, we can correct anything that's surfacing and address it right away.
So I'm the chair of the city council in Logan, so I don't feel that it's appropriate for me to do the presentation.
Oh, and I was just going to nominate you because you're there.
But I would be more than happy to have any of you come and do it because I think, you know, as chair, I just don't think it's appropriate for me to be doing the presentation.
Who is the senior Logan representative?
Probably Roger.
Roger.
I'm the oldest, so perfect. I'm the senior.
I think we should have Roger and Dean and Cecilia do it.
There you go.
Sue can come too. So I will be more than happy to schedule it. It may not be until after budget stuff, because that comes May, June, so it might be in the middle of the summer if y'all don't mind.
Just fine.
That would be fantastic.
We got to work our way towards September when we have to talk about plastic bags again.
Oh, thank you for your comments in the paper. That was awesome.
I'll probably throw Hiram's on in the next 4 weeks if anybody wants to join them.
Hiram's always party.
Great.
If you'll let us know, then we can get it out to all the board members. Let them know when you're going to be there.
Yeah, would you let us know when Providence really is? I don't know what time they start their meeting.
23rd.
What time do they start their meeting?
Like 6 p.m.
Okay.
And can I just make one request? If you want myself or a member of the management team there, let me know ahead of time so we can schedule that. Again, I'm not presuming that we're coming unless you tell me. So if you tell me, then I'm happy to have myself or somebody available. Most likely it will be me, but... So, yeah.
I will say, when you come to Logan, you need to be there.
Yeah, I would. And then one other thing, could I say one other thing to this? So to Ron's point about making sure that we're carrying this momentum forward, I'm also in the process of engaging mayors and staff. And so one of the things I would encourage you to do is at the end, talk to them about, you know, if they have priorities in their communities, you would like to know what those are and engage that. Because I'm in the process of doing that. Mayor Drew, after the Mayor's Association meeting, got with me. And so there's a project that he wants to talk about. And so I talked to Jeff and said, hey, would you like to be involved? Same thing out in Richmond. So, again, you know, we're trying to just engage, and where we get that feedback, I'm happy to. I'm fine if you're not wanting to be that. I'll leave that up to you, but I'll make you aware when we're trying to do something with that.
I may not want you to do that special bow sprout anymore because they voted down the zoning. So.
I'm aware, but we'll still engage and have that conversation. So.
Yeah, I'm just teasing.
I'm delighted that this is great that we've got this presentation. I think it also gives us an opportunity to kind of formalize a lot of the things we've been talking about in our board meetings and in a very professional way get those messages out to our city council members.
I think it also gives us more transparency.
Yeah. I agree. And I think for a long time we've maybe let the absence of communication and conversation be filled with half-truths or misinformation, rumor mill, and this is a great opportunity for us to get out there and get the word out. So thank you for PEP committee members and Todd and the staff for working with Rumor to get this put together.
I have a suggestion for a new PR person. My 2.5-year-old granddaughter, yesterday, the best gig in town is the baby chicks and ducks at the mall. So we took the bus, and it was like this is the first time that she's been big enough to ride the bus. So we get on there with this eclectic mix of Logan, you know, students and elderly. It was just a nationality and everything. It was just a wonderful mix, and everybody's looking at their phones and everything. And my 2.5-year-old Ivy, she just, I can't wait. People started looking, and when that bus started going, she just started screaming, it's going faster. Every single person on the bus was just like, this is kind of fun. It's just like we're going round the roundabout and everything. She squealed between the transit center and the mall, and I thought, I wish that I would have been on top of it. I could have recorded it because I'd love to show that to Logan. Say, look how much fun it is on this bus. It was a delightful experience. I will do it for every one of my grandchildren.
So to your point, and I don't know even how to do this. I just know it's possible. But you could put that on your social media, you know, and share that out there. I don't do social media, but I know that that's possible.
That's a really good idea. By the time I figured out how to use video on my phone, the moment had gone.
One last thing is the PEP committee meets the third Tuesday of every month. CVTD headquarters. If you're not assigned to the PEP committee and you want to come, please do. We have a great time. Cherise brings food,
snacks,
water to drink, and you sign the list and you get another $50. So if you'd like to come and join us, please come. We have lots.
Where do you meet?
We meet at the headquarters at 5:30. We start at 5:30, and off we go.
I'll put a little bit of rain on this parade. I want to clarify that if you're not a member of the committee, you don't get paid.
Oh, really?
That is correct.
Heck, I was trying to drum up more business.
You still get treats, right?
Yeah, you still get treats.
I think Ron is funding that one, right?
Of course, your input and attendance is always encouraged and appreciated. Just not that much. Yeah, and if you would like to see change on right now, chat with Holly and maybe she can get that change. But for right now, that's the policy. So, unless we have anything else on that, I just wanted to do a quick report. I had a delightful experience with the Region 8 FTA administrator, Cindy Terwilliger. Was in town this week visiting with Todd and Curtis and discussing plans and projects and just kind of getting a feel for what the district is really like. If I understood correctly, this is their first visit?
This is Cindy's first visit.
Cindy's first visit.
Melanie's been here many times. Kevin's the first visit, too, I think.
Yeah. So I'll just give you a couple of things I noted while I was with them. It was a tour of the facilities and some opportunities to chat and visit for a bit and ask questions. And I was very impressed with Todd and Curtis's ability to be prepared with all of the questions and all the answers that we needed. They did a great job. One of the things that became apparent, and I understand from Curtis and Todd, this is kind of a common issue when they're looking at funding sources and working with government agencies like this, it's a little difficult to convince them that there's a need for additional funding when people tour the facilities and see that it's so very well taken care of. These guys have done a great job of making sure that CBTD facilities are maintained very well. They've got a great shop, great building, so it's great to see.
Throw a little mud on the buses and the doors.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Some
spray on rust.
Yeah.
So, but most importantly, I was impressed with Curtis in particular has developed some great relationships with these folks over many years, and a highly professional relationship in which he is able to hit them with questions. Tell them exactly what we're doing. I'm always impressed with Curtis's responses. A good, strong working relationship with folks that I think can help us with information from other transit agencies in our region. They tour all over the place. They see the best and the worst of what's going on everywhere. And I think having that relationship is really to our benefit. So thank you, you guys both. One last note that I saw. When we were in the shop talking about funding plans, and Curtis was talking about all of the plans for getting buses turned over in the next few years, he mentioned that we have identified and allocated funding for all of our buses through 2022, and Cindy was extremely impressed with our ability to plan that far ahead. I'm assuming what that means is for most of the districts or most of the transit agencies she sees, it's living paycheck to paycheck. And this bus is about ready to fall apart, so we've got to get us a new one. So I'm delighted to see that the staff is on top of it, planning on that. So thank you both. Thank you to everyone in the staff for taking good care of the district. Any questions? Any comments for me? Great. Todd, do you have any?
Sure, I have a couple things, and I just want to, off of what Craig said, I really appreciate that Craig took the time to come and meet with us. I think that's a big part, too, is when the region office can see that the board is engaged, that it's not just management there, but having Craig there, and I think it made a huge difference. I think it's a big thing. And just leveraging off of what Craig said, Curtis, and it's not just Curtis, but definitely Curtis is a big part of this with compliance, but it's also Dick, who's our maintenance supervisor, it's Jody, it's everyone on the team that does such a good job of planning out how we're doing these things. And I mentioned to the executive committee, but I don't think I've mentioned it here to the board, but once a year, did I mention this last time? I can't remember. So once a year we get together with the state, with UDOT, who has some federal dollars that they flow through. So they're not state dollars, they're still federal dollars, but UDOT controls those federal dollars for transit. And so they have us get together with all the agencies that are providing transportation in the state. And once a year we kind of talk about what are our needs, and we plan out, over the next couple of years, what do we envision. And then we try to allocate money. And it really is because of the preparation of the staff, of Curtis, and Jody, and Dick, that we have this planned out for not just a couple of years. We have this planned out for, 10 years when it comes to bus schedule. And just when we were down there this last year, they went through the allocations, and, we were able to secure some money. But then as everyone left, then the director said, hey, can you two hold back, Curtis and myself? And he says, hey, we've got an extra $2.5 million for bus allocation.
Could you guys put that to use? And that was really a result of the way in which we do the programming, the fact that they know that we have that planned out, they know that we could use that money, and that if we tell them, yeah, we can use it and this is how we'll do it, that is not a, you know, a guess, that's knowledge. So, in fact, he's recently hired quite a few new staff, and so he's actually sending them up. We'll have one of his person that's over that program coming up in April, and he's sending her up there so Curtis can train her how to do it. I mean, that's the kind of resource that we have. And so I really, you know, I was taught a very good principle a long time ago. You know, you hire more talented people than yourself, and then you get out of their way. And that's really the case. I mean, we have such talented people, and Gregory and I have talked about that. We have such talented people. I'm the least talented among them, but, you know, I like to get to work with them and help them out. So with just making sure we're communicating. But anyway, so I talked about that. I wanted to give you an update. So if you recall, we put $75,000 in the budget this year to put a crosswalk up at the university for pedestrians to improve our safety.
We did that last year, too.
We did that last year as well, but we didn't spend it last year. So this year we put it in there, and we told them that I told them I wasn't even going to ask for it unless we're going to go to construction. So we're going to construction. They're going to be closing down that road between May 9th and August 9th and doing that construction. But so we're going to be able to put that crosswalk in, and we're going to be putting GPS units on the buses so that when the bus comes in a certain proximity, which we'll be able to set, the light will change so that the buses can go through and the pedestrians will be stopped. But this will dramatically increase the safety. But so we're in the process of getting all of that figured out, how that $75,000 will be allocated. I wanted to give you an update because the board asked for that, you know, and unless there's a concern, we're going to continue to proceed with that project. So I'm assuming unless somebody says, hey, no, that we're going to continue forward on that. And then let's see, you talked about that. Yes, please.
I'm just curious where the location is exactly of that crosswalk.
So we're currently just doing the one crosswalk, which is just west of the Education Building and Industrial Science Building. So that main crosswalk, that first crosswalk there. Well, it's not the first, but that one.
The one that's on the Champs-Élysées student. Yeah. That's what I called it when they built that crosswalk.
So the busiest crosswalk, I would say.
Okay.
That's where 900 East would be if there was a road there.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, like the hyper, it's like right there.
Between education and the hyper.
Okay.
And the crosswalk isn't the only part of the project. There's other things the university is doing, but that's the part that the board authorized us to contribute towards, and that's the part we're focused on. But there's other things going on as well.
Okay.
But honestly, I will honestly say this. This is one of the things for me that, this is a career thing for me. I'm so excited because we have been talking about this for literally 10 years, and actually to see it happen, and I know it doesn't seem like a big thing, but for me, I'm like ecstatic. It's really huge, and I think it will really change safety up there. So, so I talked about that. I swear there was one other thing that's kind of exciting too. You can see that we're putting money in the fund balance. And, you know, we anticipate that come August we're going to receive some additional funding with the tax that the county passed. So we're planning on coming to you in May with some service recommendations, some changes. And I'm really excited that the staff has really been working on this. They've done a lot of good work. I'm excited about what we're going to bring to you, obviously. So just plan on that. May would be a great meeting to be here because we're hopefully going to pull the veil off of some of these things. And I've talked with some of you about some of the initial things, but there's going to be a little bit more. But I think that's also the start of the discussion that we want to continue to have. Of there'll be other opportunities. Not this is just kind of the first step, but then there's going to be other opportunities. And it really comes back to what Tyler talked about a meeting ago or so of. That convenience versus, you know, coverage. And really, from a policy level, how do we see this going forward? Are we focused now on maintaining what we have and really pulling people out of their cars? Or are we trying to figure out, no, we see sprawl going on, and so we need to reach out a little bit more. You know, you heard Joy talk about communities that don't have service. Are we focused on trying to get out to those communities, or are we really focused on trying to get people off the out of their cars on the urban core? So those are discussions we're going to be having. I look forward to that. I look forward to that discussion. I think it'll be a fun time. But just wanted to let you know that that's coming your way. So that's all.
Thanks, Tom. Unless we have any other questions, I can't remember. Roger, do I need to call for a motion to adjourn? Or can I just bang it up?
You can go. You do whatever you want. Call it Roger's rules.
Roger's rules say we are done.
Hey, wait, but didn't we tell people why Holly is not here?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so Holly is excused tonight. She had knee surgery. And I'm delighted to report that it seems to be going very well. Motoring around town nicely, considering the situation. So send your good thoughts her way, please.
I think technically Robert's rules, they say, I move we adjourn. You don't need a second. You just say okay. Isn't that right?
I think so, yeah.
Well, can I get a motion?
I move we adjourn.
So done. Thank you all.